Our lesson today comes from John chapter 6, verses 25 through 60. And it answers the question, what happened after Jesus and his disciples fed the many out of a few loaves and fishes? So that's where we're picking up this morning. When the crowd realized that Jesus was gone and wasn't coming back, they piled into Tiberius boats and headed for Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him back across the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last." And to that they said, "Well, what do we do then to get in on God's works?" And Jesus said, "Throw your lot in with the one that God has sent. That kind of commitment gets you in on God's works." He said these things while teaching in the meeting place in Capernaum. And many among the disciples heard this and said, "This is tough teaching, too tough to swallow." May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This week, I came across a quote from Stephen Colbert. Hit the nail on the head for me. And this is what he said. He said, "If this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that the commandment to us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it." Now hear that again, because it really summarizes the situation we are in. And some of the people that you hear fighting the most for our Christian nation are the ones who are also fighting the most against helping the needy and the poor, or who want to set impossible conditions. So hear this just one more time, it's worth it. If this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that his commandment to us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. That was the problem with the Jews. It was much easier for them to try to argue and try to be in their heads and try to, like, one of the things that they would go around in circles about was, "Well, wait a second, does he want us to be actually eating his flesh and drinking his blood? That's horrible. We can't do that. That's insane." They would find little petty things to argue about, things to make distractions that would then keep people from actually hearing what Jesus was not only saying, but more importantly, what Jesus was doing. Now, Don McLeod is a pastor who made an interesting comment about Harry Emerson Fosdick, who many, many years ago, he was a powerful, powerful preacher up at the Riverside Church in New York City. And he made a tour of Palestine and a number of other countries in the Middle East. And he was asked to give an address at the American University of Beirut, Lebanon, where the student body was made up of people of all different kinds of religions and nationalities. And so he gave a lot of thought to how do I communicate to them? And so he began by saying, I do not ask anyone here to change his religion. But I do ask all of you to face up to this question. What is your religion doing to your character? That could easily be one of the questions that Jesus would have asked. What is your faith, whatever it might be, what is it doing to your character? The kind of person that you are. Is it changing you? Is it transforming you? Is it helping you to be someone who's not all about yourself? Not selfish, but thinking of others, who recognizes the value of every human being as God does. And McLeod goes one further. He shares what Emerson once said in saying, what you are speaks so loudly, I cannot hear a word you say. Did you hear that? What you are. In other words, what you're doing, how you're living, your actions, they speak so loudly, I can't hear a word you say. How many of us know people who talk a good talk? Okay? They put up this facade, but we see behind the curtain. We see the real actions of how they're living that, as this quote says, are so much louder than anything they say, and so in conflict what they pretend to be, what they pretend to say. What Jesus was about was not just talking a good talk, but living it and trying to help each of us to have the tools and the means to live it. God knows it's hard. It's a challenge. That's why we have our confession. We start our service every Sunday with that confession, acknowledging the fact of all the ways that we find it difficult to live up to what we're called to be, who we're called to be. But part of what Jesus was trying to communicate is, you don't have to do it on your own means. You don't have to do it on your own strength. In fact, if you're trying to do that, you will never succeed. Let me feed you. Let me feed you. Let me give you what you need. Let me help you to be the person you're created to be. You don't have to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. But the Jews struggled with that. They listened, they heard, they were excited, enchanted to see the miracles of things going on that caught their attention. That was the reality show of his time. But when it came right down to changing their lives and to start thinking about other people, they were stuck. And so, as Colbert was talking about, there was a part of them that really did want to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as they were. It's a challenge. There's no doubt about living this life is a challenge. Reminds me of a story that King Duncan shared about a woman who was committed to a mental hospital. After about 3 months, they say that she made a very unusual request. She wanted a larger room. She wanted a really large canvas and lots of paint. And they were kindly, every request that she made, they very kindly fulfilled. They thought perhaps this could help her. If she could paint and do art, this could help her to become healthy. 6 months later, she actually invited the administrator and the nursing staff all to come into her room for the unveiling of her life's work. Well, everybody was pretty excited. They could hardly wait to see what was behind, you know, what she'd done. So after everyone was seated, she dramatically unveiled the campus, which was totally blank. There was not one thing on the canvas. And so they were very polite, and they, you know, gave effort to look as if they were admiring the canvas, even as they were trying to figure out what was going on. And finally, the chief administrator spoke up, and he said, now what is it? tell us about your painting. And the woman, she's very enthusiastic, and she said, well, it's the children of Israel who are crossing the Red Sea. And somebody said, well, but now where is the Red Sea? And she said, well, it's parted, and half of it is on off one side of the canvas, and the other half is on, off the other side of the canvas. Okay, well, where are the children of Israel? They've already gone through. Okay, so where is the Egyptian army? Oh, they haven't arrived yet. Well, blank canvas, confusing. But King Duncan makes the point that some people live their lives like that. They never leave a mark on their canvas. And that's a question for us. Sometimes in our fear, we don't act at all. Sometimes we don't know what to do, and so we would rather step back and not take a risk. So that's what we're caught between. We're caught between fear of doing the wrong thing and not doing anything and living a life that's empty, or getting caught up in all the mundane so we can avoid doing what we're called to do. But in that process, something happens. We can't be satisfied with life. We can't find joy in it. We can't find purpose in it. And there are so many who are wondering why they're not satisfied. They're seeking to be fed by all the wrong things that will never satisfy them. And they're not looking in the right place for the one who will. So my question for us is, as we take a look at our own selves, our own lives, are we satisfied? And if not, why not? Now, we're gathered here with a special focus, a claim that we believe in Christ. So the other question for us is, are we living as those who believe? Because our actions are reflecting what we really believe. Are they reflecting what Jesus taught? We don't have to do it on our strength. He's there to feed us. And following will satisfy us in ways that nothing, nothing, nothing else can. God's wish for every single one of us is that we might be fully satisfied. Let us pray. Almighty God, your people are so lost, so struggling. We put our time and energy in things that just don't matter. Help us to find and to accept and be fed by what really matters and what really satisfies. Help us to be used by you to reach out and touch the world for good. In Jesus' name.